is true culinary. This is what's behind the scenes. Cook it in the kitchen, that big bunny where we eat all
best dishes. Stories from the kitchen.
Kitchen rolls from the gutters in podcast form.
Who's hungry, baby? Episode 79. Rags and Dishes podcast, no guests.
You don't want to take that again? You're good.
No, I'm straight. I don't give a fuck.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. Times are rough, man. The Rangers lost last night.
Wow. Tell me about it, because weren't you talking about them winning the cup last time I was here?
I mean, they're not out of the playoffs. They're still winning.
I know.
They're going to win the cup.
What's the series at?
2-1.
Who?
Rangers.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah. Well, I was hoping for a sweep, so that's why I'm a little bummed.
Sweep is tough.
Yeah, I know, especially in a sport that's competitive.
It's hard to keep them, like, I feel like a lot of it has to do with just who's motivated more. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, game three, you're down 2-0.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. The Rangers won game 1 and 2 on the road.
Yeah, so the other team is like, we're fucked.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's hard for the Rangers to keep up that same energy and motivation. When they are, it's like so tempting to like, we can take a game off. We're 1-2 on the road.
That's why I feel like in sports, like in 7-game series, it's best to win in 6.
How so? Speak on that.
Well,
it's best to win in 4.
Well, okay, probably. All right. I guess it's different in sports because in NHL, like playoffs, you don't get a break.
Yeah.
Like the Knicks get like 3 days off in between games. It's ridiculous.
I don't think that's more so in the first round here. Because they're scheduling like other games, and it's like once there's only, it's like the conference finals, and there's only
they get days off.
Yeah, of course, and they should, dude. Like, what the fuck? Are you mad that they get days off?
It's about like so. What the, fuck? The point I'm gonna make with hockey is that like when a team,
it's cooler because they play more often.
Well, yes, but it's more
so late.
It's no, but like I'm saying, it inspires more
injuries.
Yes, but a competitive nature because there's no stop. You know what I mean? It's just full send. Like in the NHL, a lot of the times when a team does sweep a series, like they win 4-0, they don't play another game for like 5 days, and then
the
next series, it's too much time. So I'm saying, like, there's. The intensity of NBA games falls off because it's like, oh, cool, like game 3 was like a massacre, but we're not going to see game 4 for like 4 days.
I think 4 days is an exaggeration.
It's not.
Okay, I think it is.
It's not every game is 4 days in between, but there are multiple games.
I think it's
games.
Very rare that there would be 4 off days in between.
When it works on the weekend and TV scheduling, yeah.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a series this playoffs that had 4 off days in between games. But anyway... Semantics.
Don't make me bring up the ESPN app.
See, that's where you're getting your information from, we all know.
Yeah, that's where like sports scheduling is posted usually.
Yeah, I guess for people like you.
Where do you read your support team's schedule?
I have a different sports app than ESPN.
What do you use?
I really didn't want to have to get it.
Yeah, no, speak up because you'd be hating on me. So what are you using?
I use an app called The Score. Shout out to The Score, but it has more... diverse coverage where, like, you know, I get my footy news about, you know, different footy leagues and stuff. And it's just not ESPN, which is like
trash.
And I've used it since like for like over a decade. You know, I've had it for forever.
I didn't know that.
Like, I don't love their writers, but like, I like their app. It's like, you know, each fantasy season, I'll like set my favorite players. To like who I have on my fantasy team, so that like when news happens with guys on my fantasy team, it's like I get like notifications through my sports app and shit like that.
Okay,
but yeah. Anyway,
it's playoff season, so you know anyone listening that doesn't like sports,
sorry.
Yeah. I want.
I'm genuinely sorry.
You know, we don't have to talk about the Knicks yet, but I did want to. I wrote it down because I read it and I was like, okay, this is something I need to bring up because Decott's into this shit. You know, Red Sox, most racist team in baseball. But we always talk about like how sick the names in baseball are. Like me and you always have.
Baseball, like players' names.
The Red Sox currently have a player on their roster named Blaze Jordan.
that is pretty great.
That's a badass fucking name.
That's a pretty sick name. I will give it that. I'm going to ignore your comment about the Red Sox because
we don't want to get into the racist history of Boston. Sure.
No, I mean, we all know about the racist history of Boston, but we all know that you're just saying that to get a rise out of me. And I'm not gonna fall for it. Okay?
It's fine.
Boston's a racist city.
Yes, I mean, this is a racist country.
I think you'd be hard pressed to find a city that's not racist in this country, but yeah.
Facts. Sport fan bases, though, it's
a little different. I mean, yeah, I think that I think that sports in general in this country is a very racially tense endeavor because the majority of sports leagues are a bunch of young black men working for a bunch of rich white men, and it's a fucked up dynamic.
I mean, I'm just talking about the fans, but...
Yeah, but I think it has to do with the fans as well because it's a bunch of fucking old white men that are, like, rooting for these young black men and deciding whether or not they're classy or not classy or whether they play the game right.
Are you talking about all sports or just baseball?
I'm talking about all sports. Like,
you think more old white men watch baseball than, like... I mean, young sorry, people, not, yeah. No, I'm sorry. More old white men watch sports than young people?
I think that if you were...
Baseball, definitely, but...
I mean, yeah, baseball, definitely, but, like, I don't think
not a lot of old white men watch the NBA.
I think you'd be surprised, first of all.
What do you think their percentage of the viewership is of the NBA?
I think if you were... Yeah,
like white male, 50-plus, what do you think the percentage is?
Like that, I don't know, dude. I don't know. It's not as big as young people.
It's just an open. I'm just asking what you think.
I think that
25%.
You look at the classic. If you think about in classic pop American pop culture, you think of a sports fan. You think of the dad of a family. You know what I mean? It's like the dad is on the couch watching sports, or in his lazy boy watching sports. Like, I'm not saying that that's what all sports fans are.
Saying all dads are racist, bro.
I'm saying all dads love sports.
Stop coming at the dads, bro.
Well, like, you know what I mean? It's like a lot of middle-aged to late middle-aged men are fucking into sports. And you know what? They love to say their opinions about sports. Like, the people that are calling into Sports Talk Radio are fucking white men aged 35 to fucking 55 or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and they're like, trying to also, talk. Also, who listens to radio?
Yeah, you know, podcast, Twitter, whatever. The people that insist on voicing their opinion are white men. But
big facts.
I just hate that fucking this dynamic that we're like, you see people on Twitter and you see their white face and their little avatar, and they're talking about how this guy plays the game right, or this guy plays the game wrong, or this guy's classy or not classy, and it's very gross language, in my opinion. Fuck sports, I guess.
I don't know.
I mean, we are guilty of the same shit, dude. Like,
I mean, I've never done the things that, like, multiple Boston fans have been, you know, gotten in trouble for. But
you act like Boston fans are the only people that have ever done fucked up shit.
No, but they are like Boston fans in sports are known as, like, the most racist fan base, I would say.
I mean, in your mind, because you...
No, not in my mind.
I don't want to say the most racist. Like, have you ever been south of the Mason-Dixon line? I feel like probably shit's rough down
there. Okay, Utah's up there, too.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Up there. But like,
I think it's known as a white fan base is the thing. It's like, it's known as a white fan base, and Boston is full of those fucking white dudes that are like, what, you fucking think you're better than me, you fucking cocksucker? Like... It's all that it's more, fucking shitty energy. Like, I hate Boston tough guy energy. It sucks.
Yeah, New York tough guy energy is way better.
Hot take, fuck you, Boston tough guy guys.
That, like, Boston be a man dude?
Let's talk
about that for a second. What do you think about the be a man guy?
Who's be a man
guy? Okay, yeah, forget it. Fuck that guy, though. There's like a... He's like a viral, because you be off the... social media, except for TikTok, but I mean, not TikTok. What's the other one?
Well, it is.
No. What's the one? Reddit. No, the one you use.
Reddit.
Snapchat.
I don't really use that.
Yo, you be snapping.
Okay. Like, I average maybe one snap a week.
What the fuck were we even talking about?
Boston sports fans being racist.
Boston be a man guy. So it's just like, he's just a big, like, stereotypical Boston white dude in his 50s. Yeah, Boston tough guy. And he does these videos that are just like really stupid. Like
where he's like, be a man.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you not seen
that? Lame. I mean, I feel like I probably have seen
it. It's like he'll be like, you know, don't do your dishes. Make your girlfriend do them.
That's pathetic.
Be a man.
That's someone rage baiting. That's someone that's like,
or it'll be like, you know,
Max, that's someone being an edgelord.
It'll be like, true. Or it'll be like, you know, it'll be like, would you roll your ankle playing basketball? Go run 2 miles. Be a man.
Fuck that person saying that probably couldn't run 2 miles on a normal ankle. Never mind if they just rolled it. Like, I fucking hate people like this. It sucks.
Shout out to Bean Shooter,
fuck
though.
Men, dude.
Bean Shooter
you
rules.
Know what? I get why men suck, dude. It's the worst. Like, I fucking masculinity is so annoying to me.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so apish. It's like banging on your chest and trying to act like
it's like, you know, that South Park episode?
The one where I love baby gets boobs.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they just revert to being like cavemen, primal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So men are the worst. I guess that's what we've learned so far.
Yeah. I mean, people are just bad in general.
Philly fans threw fucking quarters at people and you act like Boston fans.
That's not that bad.
They fucking, yeah.
I'm not.
Philly's mad racist too, dude. Like, come on. Remember that Bill Burr shit where he's like fucking getting on him because of the fucking Rocky statue?
The Rocky statue's mad dumb.
Yeah.
I will say, though, like, I can't speak on, I hate their sports, but I can't really speak on, like, Philadelphia because I've never been there.
Yeah.
Where I've seen Boston, it sucks.
Dude, I've seen New York and it sucks, bro. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah. Nobody's racist in New York. Nobody's problematic in New York.
No, absolutely. Like, I was not. I'm just talking about the city.
You're talking shit.
Talking about the city itself. The city of New York doesn't suck. There are racist, complete psychopathic pieces of shit all over New York. But I'm just saying the city of Boston itself is. It sucks.
How? Like, it's architecture, it's street.
You want to
like,
talk? You want to talk about some funny
this
shit?
Is so much. How much? How do you just shit on a city and be like, it sucks?
Because it does.
You're so bitter.
like, so let me give you a good example of why Boston sucks.
Okay, I love it.
So I went to Arizona last month.
Okay.
I flew out of Logan.
Boston's in Massachusetts.
For the first time ever.
Yeah.
And prior to this, you know, like, people talk about how it, like, Boston airport sucks. Mm-hmm. I try to, like, being from New York, when people tell me an airport sucks, I'm like, it can't be that bad. Because, like, JFK is just, like, the worst airport of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago airport's kind of shitty, too. But anyway, like, I love the Rhode Island airport. So it, like, took me a lot to be like, yeah, let me just, like, go to the Logan one. It'll be whatever. There were reasons I did it. So I take the train up to Boston. I Uber to Logan. This is on the way there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this isn't bad at all. It was like pretty easy to get through. There's like a decent amount of like food. I wasn't really hungry. I ate beforehand. But I was like, this airport doesn't suck. Like, people were, you know, overrating how bad this airport was. So I was kind of hyped. I was like, all right, this is not that bad. Now, when I got back from Arizona, DCOT, this is, I mean, like, Boston, it's like a top 10 city in America, right?
I mean, based on what? I don't know.
I don't know. Just, like, notoriety.
I guess if you were to ask random people name 10 American cities, it probably would be in, like, average in the top 10 first named.
Okay, so there is no fucking way to get out of the airport if you didn't drive there. There's no train. You have to catch a random bus that you have to refigure out a bus schedule to get where you're going.
Okay.
And none of the Ubers want to pick you up because it's too hard to get fucking out of Logan to get off from the highway. So I got denied by 5 fucking Ubers trying to leave the airport. And I had to figure out the bus schedule just to leave the airport at a major fucking city. Number one problem with Boston, transit. And that's why the city fucking sucks.
This is so funny.
That's it. There we are.
So Boston is a shitty city because you had a bad experience at the airport one time.
No, because throughout my time in Boston, I've noticed the transit is miserable.
Yeah, yeah, the tea is fucked.
The tea is miserable. If you want to go from Boston neighborhood to like the other side of Boston, you have to drive like a half a fucking hour.
Listen, the tea when it's not in the state that it is currently is fine. Like
I've never seen it in a good state.
I rock the tea it's all the time.
It's nice as far as like being like clean and cute and like
convenient and
easily accessible, but it's so fucking slow. It's ridiculous.
It hasn't always
it's
been
ridiculous.
It hasn't always been this slow. They have current slow zones and stuff, but
slow zones.
I just don't. I love how like you have so much negative energy in your heart that you like can like have hatred for a city. Like, it's how just, do you care that much about Boston to be like, it sucks, it's the worst. It's like, what? Who? Why are just, you so mad?
I think it's just because.
What did Boston do?
I think it's just like, because Boston has so much pride, and I'm like, what is this pride for? Where did it? Like, what?
Everybody has pride where they come from.
Yeah, but.
I think some you can place, get, places, allow people some, that without getting mad about
some
it.
Some places shouldn't have pride.
I mean, like I kind of feel you. Yeah, if you're like
Jersey.
Yeah, Tallahassee represent. Yeah. You know, I don't try to. Sorry, Tallahassee. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think you could just like chill and like not have to shit on other people that are just like doing their own thing.
When they're your rivals, you do.
See, this is where it comes down to. You just, you're admitting you just aren't talking shit because you just don't like Boston and you want to talk shit. You don't see me out here just trying to shit on New York.
Yeah,
like,
because there's not as much you can shit on.
There's a lot you can
you
shit
love, because I know you love New York.
You know so what you can like, shit on? This whole energy that you have.
Why?
It's the equivalent of the Boston tough guy is the New York tough guy.
Yeah, but it's way
fucking,
more it's way more cool and validated.
See? Exactly. You're doing it right now. You're doing the same thing.
Oh, God. We're 20 minutes in and we haven't even talked about the service industry. Speaking of, Boston food sucks. I'm just kidding.
Bro, you want to talk about Boston food? We got to talk about that situation that was in the Times.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You want me to speak on it?
Yeah.
All right, listeners, you hear about the Barbara Lynch situation.
Who is Barbara Lynch?
All right, Barbara Lynch is like a restaurateur, I guess, in Boston.
So just like a baller?
Acute, like has many restaurants, yeah. Like owns. So I have this article here. In case y'all didn't hear, Barbara Lynch, who is a leading Boston restaurateur, as the headline says, accused of workplace abuse. Dun, dun, dun. Que sorpresa. I think, yeah, this does not sound good, bro. So apparently, so 25 years in Boston, acclaimed chef. Let me just scan through this.
So she's been grinding since the late 90s.
Mm-hmm. Says she rose above her poor and violent childhood in South Boston. What do you think? You're fucking better than me? And fought sexism as a line cook to reach the top of her profession. So March 15th, she gathered 24 employees of Menton, which is the most prestigious of her seven establishments. They had a meeting.
It's a shitty name.
Yeah. M-E-N-T-O-N. Menton.
Terrible.
It's not that great. For a meeting after dinner service, okay? So they had an after dinner service meeting. They were all exhausted and grief-stricken because their head chef fucking died of a fentanyl overdose 2 months earlier. So that morning, they learned...
Whoa, pause. They had a meeting 2 months after that?
No, it wasn't about that.
Okay.
So
it just people, 2 months... People were frail because...
This is the energy of the establishment.
Okay.
People are... And you stopped me right before I really...
Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry.
I'm not attacking you for it. I'm just saying. So yeah, they're already fucked up because their head chef died of fentanyl overdose 2 months ago. And that morning, a young line cook that the head chef had mentored died of a fentanyl overdose. So it was like, I guess the second... fentanyl overdose in the kitchen in like 2 fucking months.
Holy
and
shit.
So they have a meeting later that day. And people said instead of getting like support and like inspiration from her, they said that Barbara Lynch, who had been drinking beforehand in the restaurant's private dining room, delivered outrage and self-pity in an expletive-laced confrontation that one employee recorded and shared with the New York Times.
Like a video of her bugging out?
Probably, or at least audio.
What?
So the new head chef, this guy Tim, challenged her by pointing out that she hadn't visited the kitchen after the other head chef died. She fired this new head chef on the spot.
For just speaking up?
For speaking up. When he responded that he would drag her, she threatened to push his head through a window.
That's pretty badass.
Yo, the badass? Yeah. What?
Yeah, it's not right, but it's like...
It sounds like you're complimenting her.
That's not a compliment. It's just funny.
It's funny?
What did she say again?
She said she'll fucking push his head through a window.
If he drags her, I'd be like, okay, good luck.
She's like, she's like, you're fired. He's like, you're firing me for this? I will fucking drag you online. And she's like, you drag me online, I'll fucking smash your head through a window.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's not okay. That's not okay. That's fucking nuts, dude. Dude, she said, I'm not going to stand for it. I don't want negativity in my life. She told him to show up the next day to learn.
I don't want negativity in my life.
She told him to show up the next day to learn whether or not they'd be keeping their jobs.
What, to everyone?
All eight of the remaining kitchen crew that worked under that old head chef resigned within days. 20 of her former employees and more than a dozen veterans of Boston's restaurant business have told the Times that her actions, while shocking, were not surprising. They say for decades, her alcohol abuse and verbal and physical aggressions inside the restaurants have been an open secret among hospitality workers. I mean, so she's like a got a reputation.
I mean, that is a pretty fucked up story, but it's not like it's unique.
It's also not over. Dude.
Yeah, true. There's more,
dude. It says, in recent years, the frequency of her abusive outbursts and impulsive firings have increased, even as many chefs have improved workplace conditions since the start of the Me Too movement. So I guess it's like...
she just wants that old school kitchen.
Yeah, it says, in her own dining rooms and bars, she drinks heavily and has subjected employees to unwanted propositions and touching.
Damn.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, so she's just, you know, crossing all the check marks on, like, what not to do as an owner.
Yeah, this is insane. She's the majority owner of her restaurant's answers only to the investors. And former employers said they had no recourse but to go public with their grievances.
Yeah, so why
this
the fuck
is
not?
Like, this is what happens when it gets so bad. Someone at the top is so bad. And
I think it's real.
You're like, we got to go to the fucking New York Times.
I think it's really righteous.
Hey, you know what? They didn't go to no Boston Times, bro. I'll give you
the Boston Globe.
They didn't go to no Boston.
Hey, Times. Speaking of Boston, which we won't stay on, but best Boston film of all time. Spotlight,
Moonlight,
all day.
I haven't seen Spotlight yet.
What?
It's not one that you're like, right, has a subject matter that you want.
Yeah, but it's such a good movie.
But
it won Best Picture. So like,
listen, so I have to speak on what the best Boston movie is, in my opinion.
Well,
right?
You've never seen it, so.
So you're not interested in my opinion at all? Okay, no, I get it. No, you're right. Let's move on. You just wanted to say,
is it Good Will Hunting?
No, it's not good. Are you kidding me?
Is it Ted?
Oh my God, is that a Boston movie?
I mean, it's with Mark Wahlberg. It's in Boston and Seth MacFarlane.
Is it Mr. Griffin?
Is it what?
Is that my daughter in there?
All right.
Is that my daughter in there?
Mr. Griffin is pretty good.
anyway, damn. So yeah, this lady sucks.
Yeah, she ass.
Wow, this is brutal.
I think it's really like righteous when like shit's not going right somewhere and like there's like a what would you call it? Like a mass exodus of people quitting. Like one person quits and it's like, all right, we're all leaving now.
Yeah. Dude, they stuck around after that dude died. Like
when I put my 2 weeks in at Bucktown, and I walked back in the kitchen, and I was like, yeah, I just put my 2 weeks in. And Frank was like, yeah, I quit.
Yeah, Frank was like, me too. That's so funny.
Yeah, that was pretty G. Shout out Frank. Well, actually, no, not shout out Frank, because he won't text me back ever. So,
yo, shout out Frank for that. You do you, Frank. So, yeah, dude, this Barbara Lynch situation, this is not good. So she's also saying she categorically denies the allegations. She says, I expressly reject the various false accusations lodged against me that I have behaved inappropriately with employees or cross-professional guideposts, blah, 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 blah. But later on, she says, I acknowledge that I am a creature of the alcohol-steeped hospitality and restaurant industry. She added, and I'm committed to taking responsibility and working on myself. If you're committed to taking responsibility, it doesn't sound like it when you're like, I deny.
Well, I mean, like, it's a story old as time and the human condition that, like, more money, more problems.
Yeah, you're right.
And the more power you get, usually people start abusing their power.
Yeah, well, it depends.
Like, I bet that this woman didn't start her first restaurant in 1999 abusing her workers. I bet after, like, 5 years of success, you know, she got crazy with power, probably drinking too much, has some fucked up shit going on in the brain.
Her first restaurant,
as we all do,
was Number 9 Park. Have you ever heard of that? It was in 98, I guess. But, yeah, damn. Like, she has to. This is like, there are certain people that suck, dude. She's definitely been like this since day one. And it's like going unchecked. Like, yeah, I think that power goes to people's heads universally, but it's like, how strong is your head at rejecting that? You know what I mean? I think,
yeah, facts.
People can be good leaders. We've had good leaders that have had a lot of power that didn't like use it and abuse it. I mean, maybe they got a good parking spot out of it, but
like in the world,
yeah, in world history, there have been good leaders, yeah. You know what I mean, that had a lot of power that didn't abuse it. But like,
who?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to like check you. I'm just trying to, I can't really think of many.
Well, I mean, we've had good
Derek
presidents.
Jeter?
Name your favorite presidents. You know what I mean? Like someone like Lincoln.
Have
or someone.
We, though?
I mean, there are also
I'm pretty sure I came on this podcast and was like, all presidents deserved death.
Yeah, that was a take.
You know, like, part of me loves Obama, but when I look at the stat sheet, it's like, nah, he's a piece of shit.
The stat sheet meaning civilian bodies.
Just like, you know, numbers don't lie. It's just a fact.
Yeah, like most people killed by drone strikes, civilians killed by drone strikes during your presidency. Yeah, you got that number.
And I get it. Like, he has a good jump shot. We all thought that was cool. Wow. And, you know.
Wow.
I mean, that was like, Obama was like the fun president because he like played basketball and like,
I mean,
listened to Kendrick Lamar.
I'm not gonna
and
act like
you know
he was
what I
trash.
Mean?
Like, I'm not going to act like he was trash. Like, he was trying
what do you
to
mean?
Push
through
healthcare,
yeah,
to help people. Like, he did want to use his presidency.
He did some good shit.
But I do remember in his campaign him being like, I'm going to shut down Guantanamo Bay. And then he became president. And then a general whispered in his ear. And then he was like, I'm not going to shut down Guantanamo Bay. Like, so that, you gave up on that real quick.
It's still open, yeah?
I think so. I don't know. I'm not going to speak on it. I don't know. But anyway, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you've had people that were your boss. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, absolute world leader power. You've had bosses that didn't treat you like shit and
yes,
let power
yes,
go
true,
to their head.
True,
you know
true,
what I mean?
True, true, true.
It's just like certain people just love the feeling of having power and love swinging their little dick around. And they like to like fucking act like assholes to like rub it in your face that they have more power than you. And this is just a ridiculous degree of that. Like, to be also sexually like harassing like people, touching people, like on top of being like just like a toxic boss that fires people at the drop of a hat. Like, that's like a piece of shit, like fucking royal flush. Like, it's insane.
Royal flush. I like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's wild.
Anyway. Yeah. So I guess we'll see what happens to her restaurants.
I made someone a whiskey sour last night.
Did you use egg white?
No.
Do you ever?
If we have some on hand.
Okay.
I'm not just going to waste a yolk for these people.
Save the yolk.
Anyway, he sucked. Actually, I think it was Friday. I don't think it. Maybe it was last night. I like honestly with bartending, it's the first service industry job I've had where like at the end of the night, I like don't really remember much from my shift because everything's just such quick movements. You know what I mean? We're like working the line. I can remember back and be like, yo, that steak that I cooked for table six at like 7:26 was banging. Where I'll like forget whole tables that I served. Damn. I feel like. Anyway, this guy was super douchey. He asked for like three. Wait, what did I say I gave him? A whiskey sour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He asked for three different whiskeys that we didn't have because we have like a pretty small.
Do you remember what the ones he asked for? Was it like Redbreast or some shit?
One was a type of Jack Daniels. He said Jack Daniels something, something, something. Then something else I had never heard of before. And I was like, not a big whiskey guy, but like this is our selection right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, whatever, just like make me a whiskey sour. And his date, I made whatever, I forgot what she got, but made her the drink. And then I make him a whiskey sour and I bring it over and he goes, up.
Wow.
That's all he said because I brought it to him on the rocks. Yeah. I don't like we don't have whiskey sour on the menu. And I think of whiskey sour as on the rocks usually. And he just went up. And I was just like, holy shit. Like, I would love to just slap this motherfucker across the face right now. Or just be like, why are you dating this guy?
Because he's a cocktail snob.
Yeah.
Damn. So what are you putting in that whiskey sour with no egg? It's just like lemon juice.
It's essentially simple just syrup, like whiskey lemonade. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta get that egg white in there, baby. Froth it up, baby.
We do have a little.
Yo, so I saw you working the other day. I was walking by.
You walked by me while I was bartending?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come in?
Well, I think it was like.
You're on a date, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I think it was the end of your shift and you guys were like wrapping up because it was shit. Like after 10.
When was this? Friday?
It was after I went to Gracie's.
Friday?
Thursday. Oh, yeah. So we should get into this. So,
You went to Gracie's.
Went to Gracie's. Y'all got the 7-course tasting menu.
Let's speak on it.
Well, my phone died. Damn, I had some notes on it on my phone, but yeah.
Of course you did. I got unprepared.
I was prepared. My phone died.
We'll talk about some more unpreparedness after, but let's talk about Gracie's first.
Damn, bro. Damn. So, got the full 7-course tasting menu with the wine pairings. Shit was gas. Overall, shit was gas. First course was like a sea bass ceviche shit with like green apple.
Eh.
It was dank. It was sick. And that was like with like a German white wine. That one was good.
Okay.
And then the second course. Shit.
You already forgot the courses. What was the service like?
The service was impeccable. I forget
impeccable.
Our
impeccable.
Yeah, she was great.
Okay.
Our server was great. And then like we had some other people like drop off certain dishes. Like this one lady dropped off like the foie gras and she was clearly like, I'm the eccentric lady. And she was like, ooh, I heard you've never had foie gras before. Ooh, well, let me tell you, this is good. Blah, 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 yada, yada. And her energy was just so great and like over the top. And I was loving it.
Was she like our food runner?
That's the thing. It was like not very busy. And so like, I feel like I saw that lady dealing with another table. So like she might've been a server as well.
Like a manager or something?
I didn't get that vibe, but like, I don't know. We had other people bringing our stuff, picking stuff up, but so
we've still I guess we did have Kelly on, but we've never had an employee that wants to speak on working at Gracie's on the podcast.
Yeah.
It seems as if everyone's a little intimidated to speak on.
I don't think anybody wants to shit on Gracie's is the problem, but
I mean, I've heard some rumors, so
yeah, I know some people,
some rumblings around the town.
I think Gracie's is pretty great.
I've never been, so I can't speak on it.
So the second course, I don't remember if this was exactly the second course, but we had the cod dish that was like Fall River style, and I was like, let's go.
Okay.
So it had like some charisse and like it was paired with like a Portuguese wine, like a white wine. And I was like, this dude definitely went to Portugalia and Fall River and got some dank Charisse there and got like a couple of cases of this white wine to like come up with this dish. But that was delightful. Then we had the foie gras, which was banging. Like,
never had it.
It was like, I guess they were saying that it's like, you know, usually you get it as like, you know, like a nasty like pate or something, which, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of like liver pates, but like.
Me either.
It's like, it's just the cold with the texture. You
it's
know
gross.
I mean? But like.
Pates are gross.
This was just like a.
Ladies and gentlemen, pates are gross. Don't yeah. care.
Yeah. Yeah. You hear that, Sean? So fucking the foie gras was like it was like a little slice of it, like warm, like served over
a bed of like greens,
like an apple cake and like some granola shit or Ooh. Something. It was like pretty bomb. That was delightful. There were two dishes that were paired with like dessert wines that were like absolute ass. Like
the pairing was ass?
The wine itself. Well, like, I'm sure.
What did you drink? Like a port?
No, it was like, one of them was like a. They were definitely both grape wine, like grape based wines. It wasn't like an orange wine or anything like that. But it had the vibe of like when you get like an orange wine or a wine that's just like mad sweet. And yeah, it was like.
Too deep.
Too sweet. Just like. It was like Welch's grape juice shit. Yeah, like,
I feel you.
Like, so I think we also had, I remember the other dish. It was the rabbit pasta dish. So
I bet I'd fuck with that.
Dude, it was so good. It was like, yeah, it was a pasta dish with like, with rabbit in it. And it was delightful. And then we had the duck. And then the last two courses are like, cheese and then dessert.
Hitting a lot of different meat categories on that.
Yeah, so it was sea bass, cod, duck, and rabbit.
I don't like cod.
Cod is dope, dude.
My least favorite fish. Maybe salmon.
Let me
actually.
Make you some cod, dog. What about you? Don't fuck with fish and chips?
Like, I like all fish. I'm just saying, if we're ranking it, salmon and cod are at the bottom of my list.
Really? I like cod. I'd rather have flounder.
Better.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree, but they're very similar.
I can taste the difference. Like, if I get a fish and chips.
If I get
a fish and chips and it's flounder, I'm like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, because the cod, like, you'll tell right away because the cod's going to be a thick boy and the flounder's not going to be as thick.
Not always.
Usually.
Get a fat floundy. Okay. Fucking doormat kid.
Wow, dude. But yeah, shout out to Gracie's. Shit was delightful. I was way more full than I thought it was going to be. And I was low-key more lit than I thought it was going
to
be.
Well, I mean, what's that? 7 glasses of wine?
Yeah, but they're light pours. But sometimes I was like, this doesn't feel that light.
Let's go take a walk after dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Then we walked by and saw your ass.
So last, shit banged on the window. Actually, maybe not.
Yeah, I was good. I was across the street. And
I had
a
motherfucker.
Distance.
We have, so you've been to Vigny. They have the lights on the bar, the bulbs, I forget what you call them, but like you can't touch them with the human finger.
With the human finger.
that's what they say. You have to wear
that's
like
what
a,
they say,
you, have to, you have to wear like a glove. You know what I mean? Because it'll like fuck them up. I forget what kind of bulb. They're like fancy ass bulbs.
Like halogens or whatever. This shit's
I don't
like
know.
The kinds that are in like
I'm not an electrician.
Your head.
I had someone fucking try to touch one. Like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Just sit and eat your food. Stop trying to touch our lights.
Was it because you said you can't touch them?
No, I didn't. I was like down the bar and he was over there just like fucking off. Just people need to behave. But I want to talk about, you know, last week we talked about a bunch of stuff. There were kind of some homework assignments given. Decot didn't do his. He didn't listen to the Billy Woods album.
I forgot.
But
it's okay.
We can come back.
I will listen for next week.
There's late points off. It'll only be an A-, but it's fine.
Listen.
Now, I, however, listened to the Lil Yachty album and the T-Pain album.
Yes. Well, I need thoughts.
You want to start with the good or the bad?
Start wherever you want.
Well, I'm asking you.
Start with the good, I guess.
Okay, so we're going to start with Lil Yachty. Album fucks.
Yo, right?
Album fucks.
It's so good.
The Ride, great song.
Mm-hmm.
Obsessed with that one. You're totally right with like the Pink Floyd vibes. I will say this, like Lil Yachty is one of those people that's a dumbass genius.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like that motherfucker is so stupid. Can't get over enough mm-hmm. how dumb he is.
She blow me like a cello.
But what this album was when I listened to it, like it basically reminded it. I really liked it because I like when artists aren't like backed into a corner to like do what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where this is an album where clearly he was just like, all right, like I'm rich and successful now, so I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, I was saying it's like he listened to Dark Side of the Moon and was like, I would like to do that, please.
I will also say it's better than anything Tame Impala has released in like the past 8 years.
Oh, God. It's like I'm going to take what you do and do it better.
It's also, it's like corny and stupid, and there's parts in the album where I'm like, this is so ridiculous, like the vocals. And
but then you remember it's coming from Lil Yachty, and but he's experimenting.
Slaps. It slaps,
and, you're like,
it slaps and it hits, and like the tones are great, and the synthesizers are great. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's pretty sick.
The T-Pain album's fucking terrible.
What?
Horrible.
This is such a bad take by you.
Can't stand it.
This oh is such God. A. How do you dislike that?
It's just bad.
How?
Just everything about it.
How?
So
you're not
boring.
Using words.
Well, let's put it this
he
way.
He made a fun cover album with like seven covers.
But they're just not good covers.
The War Pigs is sick.
No, it's not. It's really bad.
The Change Is Gonna Come is sick.
It's not. It's bad.
It is good.
Honestly,
he's like he has amazing voice without auto-tune.
I think his voice his voice is super overrated.
You think he has a bad voice?
Yeah, kind of.
Wow.
Yeah. And
this is a take,
dude. Like, it's just like. I listened to that album first, too, because in my head, I was like, this Lil Yachty album is going to be fucking trash, and the T-Pain album is going to be probably
T-Pain
good.
T-Pain album is like seven songs long. How can you be mad?
It just sucks. It was terrible.
What?
I just...
It's fun.
Just audio diarrhea. That's what that was.
Oh, my God. This is a bad take.
No, it's a good take. No one should be listening to that album. It's terrible.
It's fun.
There's like... Like, Cake did a better fucking Black Sabbath cover than fucking T-Pain.
I think he did amazing vocally on that song, and it's great.
All right. Well, it's bad. It's really bad.
All right.
That's that. We're done with the podcast now.
I guess that's it. This is such negative energy to end on.
Hey, but the Lil Yachty album was banging, so thanks for turning me on to that.
Yeah.
1 for 2. It's a good batting average.
Bro,
but you're just dumbfounded by the fact that
it's like they're both objectively great.
They're also both objectively terrible.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't really think so.
Okay, I'll throw up a poll.
Yeah, that'll get us a definitive answer.
Well, I mean, it'll give us an idea. Speaking of
people, listen to the T-Pain cover album. It's very, very brief. It's only like 7 songs. And I think it's fun and quirky and interesting. And you listeners, find something to be as angry as Max about with that album. Because I don't know why you're so mad.
I'm not angry. It just was bad.
What?
Not angry about it at all.
Only thing you've articulated about how it's bad is that his voice is overrated.
I mean, like, think about... I mean, the easiest breakdown of why it's bad is the War Pigs song, easily. But, like, all right, so, like, there's, like, no guitar in the song, and there's, like, extra drums, and it sucks.
Okay, so you don't like the production.
The production's really bad.
You want
the drums
to sound
are terrible.
Exactly like War Pigs with just his vocals on it?
You know, you can take something and make a good riff on it. he took something and made a not good riff on it. Like, you know who did a great riff is like Charles Bradley when he did Changes.
I think when,
you know what I mean? That was like a great, that's possibly the best cover of all time. Maybe.
I don't know about that. I think Whitney Houston might have something to say about that.
Okay. I mean, that's up there too.
You know?
And then there's like the worst covers of all time, where I don't know if that's in the worst covers of all time, but that's a bad album.
The worst covers of all time. No, this, you're acting like this is like Weezer's Teal album or something.
I didn't even listen to that.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, the album where they did Africa covers, by Toto like 10 years.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The worst, they covered the worst song of all time.
They covered all these songs that it's like, hey, we went through a yacht rock thing like 10 years ago and you're doing it too late.
Covers in general usually aren't that good. It's, that's why when it's like, when someone does a cover that's good, it's like, yo, this fucking slaps.
I think this is a bad take because I think covers are usually more of a staple of live music, and it's very fun to be at a concert.
I hate cover bands live.
No, I'm not talking about a cover band, you dumb fuck. I'm talking about when you go to a concert for a band
and you hear
and you're like,
cover,
oh shit, they're playing fucking Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones. Like, you know, you go see Mo and then they bring up Grace Potter and they do Gimme Shelter. Like, that's fun. That, those are when you see good covers.
I did see a band recently do a good Nirvana cover that I was like, ooh, this is cool. This is like,
yeah.
But in general,
in live is when you see. Yeah, they don't chart. Like, so there's not a lot of big covers that are like charting hits.
I don't consider charting like a measure of.
Well, like I mean, like released as an actual recorded single.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, exactly, because people don't come out with good covers.
I mean, I think
there's more bad than good.
If you're including cover bands, I guess.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's more bad covers than good covers, just in general.
Okay.
Some people kill it. Like, you know, the Rage Against the Machine album, fire.
That is, yeah, that's great.
You know, there's good covers out there. That one fucking Limp Bizkit song.
Faith.
Yeah, that shit fucking slaps.
Oh, my God.
It's like one of two Limp Bizkit songs.
Even Limp Bizkit can make a good cover, dude.
TPN can't.
It's a bad take.
All right, let's move on from this.
Yeah, let's move on to.
Let's end this.
Me going home.
Yeah, let's end this. But I did ask our peeps, our followers,
yeah,
what they wanted us to cook at the pop up.
Mm-hmm.
That we still aren't really releasing that much information about. Mostly people give bad ideas, but. I feel like we should do a Caesar salad.
Okay.
All right. There we go.
I guess.
There you go.
Wow, a Caesar salad?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have to talk about this off mic.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's not just going to, you know, it's going to slap, but.
All right.
Caesar salad's bang.
Can we do like a grilled Caesar or something?
Yeah.
Well, all right. We'll talk later.
I don't want to do just like a basic Caesar.
Oh, yeah, that's what it sounded like.
It's got to be swaggy.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk off mic.
I mean, come on. Swag gods.
Okay.
Number one podcast in the service industry.
Reel it in. Reel it in, champ.
Yeah.
Wrap this shit up.
Well, how do you want to wrap it up?
You know what you always do when we end a podcast?
Yeah, I just feel like we should leave. Oh, you know what? No, I did. Because I wanted to let you finish about Barbara Lynch or whatever that fucking. What a terrible name, too, mm-hmm. right? Barbara Lynch. Sorry to anyone named Barber or Lynch out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're living in like a fucked up world where like drugs are not safe to do. You said in that fucking mm-hmm. article, all those people ODing on fentanyl.
Yeah.
Now there's Trank too, which like Narcan won't help you with, but. I don't know, man. People out there just need to know that there's like three rules of doing drugs now. One, test your fucking drugs.
Yeah, you can get test kits very cheap.
Just fucking do it. I get them for free. So
you can get them free.
Always carry Narcan if you can.
Yes.
Especially if you just know there's going to be drugs around.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, don't be fucking doing drugs by yourself, please.
Yeah, buddy up. Buddy,
that's like you're going to die.
It's a recipe for disaster.
If you follow those three rules, you might live.
But, yeah. fourth rule should be, you know, try to seek alternatives, find help.
Yeah. But yeah. Or just
if
like,
you're going to do it, you know, there's smart ways to do it.
And just, yeah, it's just not worth it. To,
there are places that will provide clean needles to you and shit.
Yeah. All right. It's kind of sad, but I don't know. It's important and needed to be said.
Yeah.
Anyway, fuck the police.
Yeah.
Fuck capitalism. Fuck Elon Musk.
Fuck SCOTUS. All my homies hate SCOTUS.
Yeah.
Yeah, more thing. Yeah, and get fuck Boston. Fuck Boston, tough guys.
Yeah, be a man.
We out.
I'm Max Messier-Richter.
I'm Dan Cotter.
Rags of this podcast.
Are we